Good afternoon. I would like to call this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. The time is 1:34 p.m. We are in Belts, room 105 of the Thomas Stewart Building in the nation's most beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. I think the sun is almost poking through the clouds, maybe. Today is Monday, February 9th. It's my son Blake Bjorkman's 11th birthday today. So happy birthday, Blake. Members present today are Senator Dunbar, Senator Yount, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Senator Merrick is in Senate Finance right now, and Senator Gray Jackson is excused for today. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Welcome everyone to Senate Labor and Commerce. I'd like everyone to please turn off or silence your cell phones and join me in extending a warm Senate Labor and Commerce welcome to our recording secretary, Carrie Tupo, and our LAO moderator, Doug Bridges. We have one item on our agenda today. It is Senate Bill 81, Public Employer Pension Contributions. Senate Bill 121 has been removed from our agenda at the request of the sponsor. The last time we heard Senate Bill 81, we adopted a conceptual amendment number one, which deleted section one of the bill. We then heard some public testimony and held the bill over in order to get some answers from Ledge Legal, as well as others who may have those answers. Today, it is my intention to bring Senate Bill 81 back before the committee for some answers to committee questions. We will then take additional public testimony, if there is, have some committee discussion, and look to the will of the committee. We have here with us, to provide a brief recap of the bill, Ms. Margo Youngberg from Senator Stedman's team, and we have to answer some of Senator Dunbar's questions, Mr. Dan Wayne from Legislative Legal Services. Ms. Youngberg, if you could join us at the table. Please state your name and provide the briefest recap of the bill, if you would, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Margo Youngberg, and I am staff to Senator Stedman. SB 81, in essence, would remove the existing 22% cap and therefore allow the flexibility for the ARM board to set a rate that would better match the actuarial rate that they currently set.
Very good. Thank you for that succinct and tight recap. I appreciate it. Okay. Senator Dunbar, you had some questions, and I believe Mr. Wayne is here, and he can answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a fairly straightforward question, which I think I have learned the answer to in the interim, but between the two meetings, but perhaps is worth putting on the public record. If this bill is essentially eliminating a 22% cap, then why is there no, that exists in our statute, then why are there no repealers in the bill?
Senator Dunbar, through the chair, it's not eliminating the cap. As I understand it, it just says notwithstanding A of this section has the cap in it. The annual employer contribution rate may not be less than the rate sufficient to allow payment of the employer normal cost. And then we've added in an amount that calculated at the rate certified under 3710-220A8 for liquidating past service liability of the plan. And then the employer contributions required under 3930-370 and 3935-750.
We have a follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
So that is my understanding now is the notwithstanding language and combined with number two on page two, that new insert basically creates an exception, is it notwithstanding or like a almost a contradiction in the law, sufficient to make the 22% dead letter in a lot of circumstances. And I guess my follow-up question is, why do that rather than just repeal the 22%. Are there other circumstances where the 22% is still in effect?
Well, the 22% would still be in effect, and you're just adding to it the requirement that if under this kind of complicated calculation under 3935255A, which has, you know, a couple of different rates, you know, could result from that calculation depending on facts. It's just adding in a safeguard saying that no matter what grade you end up with after making that calculation, it has to be at least enough to pay these three things that are listed on page two of the bill.
Follow, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So, but these three things that we list here, isn't that just how the rates are generally calculated? That is to say, are there other things other than these three things that that otherwise could go into the rate that would hypothetically push the price above 22% but be disallowed? Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is if these three things are now covering most rates and are the most important things to calculate the rates, and they take precedent over the 22%, why is the 22% around? Again, like what examples are there where the 22% cap could still be in effect?
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, I think it still is in effect, and these things are just like this whole subsection D is a backstop to make sure that those three things get paid that are listed in D.
But, yeah, one last follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I guess I'll just say again, like, the three things now listed are the employer's normal cost, but then also the past cost, so the past service liability plan, and then these other requirements. And I just struggle to think of what else is in the rates besides that. And if that's what's in the rates, and then if it's under 22%, then great, the 22% doesn't come into effect. But if it pushes it over 22%, then the 22% doesn't matter. So it just seems to me like the 22% is dead letter. Again, unless there are some things that typically go into rates that aren't captured by these three.
Senator Dunbar, through the chair, I think that's the same question.
Yeah.
I would give the same answer, but I maybe would add to it that, you know, perhaps somebody from, you know, the administration, the Division of Retirement Benefits, can speak to whether or not, you know, we need to, the policy still needs to have subsection A in it.
Yeah. So thank you for your testimony. I guess I'll just make a comment, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Rather than a question. I think the presentation that the Senator Stedman and his staff have given says this basically gets rid of the 22% cap. And I think that is probably what it does. I'm just sort of puzzled by why we did it this way, like why legislative drafted it this way. Because rather than actually repeal the 22% cap, they created an exception so broad that the 22% cap can never be in effect. And that just seems to me like a not even inelegant, but almost like confusing way. It is a confusing way. If I was a member of the public and I looked at our statutes as written, I would start at A and be like, oh, there's a 22% cap. And then it wouldn't be until sections later when I realized, and only if I really understood what this meant, that the 22% cap doesn't actually do anything. And it's almost like we said there's a 45 mile per hour speed limit, but only if you're driving. You know, it doesn't apply if you're driving. So I don't know. I suppose it's it accomplishes what it accomplishes, and it's a policy call for us. And the way it's drafted, while I think confusing, accomplishes that. And so, that's all I'll say, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to hold up the bill because I think it maybe is inelegantly drafted. Because maybe it isn't. I mean, that's the other thing. This might be the only way you can do this, and I just don't have the in-depth knowledge of how else to craft this. That's all, Mr. Javs. Sorry.
No worries. No, it's all right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wayne, for your answers, and Ms. Youngberg for being here as well. We are going to now continue on with some public testimony. Public testimony remains open from our last hearing. Do we have anyone online or in the room wishing to testify to Senate Bill 81? We have one person online, Mr. Chris Noel. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chris Noel, and I serve as mayor of the Denali Borough. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 81. The Denali Borough understands the state's revenue shortfall and the pressure it creates, and we really feel like this is one, you know, just one of many tools to address that. Senate Bill 81 would allow the state to increase or decrease the employer contribution for PERS and TERS, allowing it to shift the cost of the unfunded liability onto local governments and school districts. This is at a time when costs continue to rise and state support has remained flat or declined, depending on the program or department. The borough has regularly advocated for maintaining the 22% employer contribution cap and appreciates the committee's consideration of the municipal impact of breaking away from the cap. Changing to an annual Alaska Retirement Management Board adjusted contribution would impose additional complexity and shift the unfunded liability onto municipalities. And I just wanted to add a little more context. You know, my understanding, the rate for municipalities is currently set at 28.33. That was the ARM board's set rate. And so at a cap of 22%, the state was picking up the bill for the Denali Borough of 6.33% of our, you know, that additional liability. And so for us, that equates to about $30,000 and $50,000 per year. So I just wanted to add that bit of context for the borough specifically. Thank you, Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Noel. Are there anyone else who – is there anyone else who wishes to testify on this item? Hearing and seeing no one, I'll now close public testimony. That brings Senate Bill 81 back before the committee under committee discussion. Is there any committee discussion of this item? I have a couple of comments. Senate Bill 81, as discussed between Senator Dunbar and Mr. Wayne, does exactly what it purports to do. As we look at the sectional and the fiscal notes, and I'll just read the fiscal note into the record here for clarity. So the fiscal note from the Department of Retirement and Benefits for public employee retirement system states this. This bill increases the annual employer contribution rate by requiring an additional employer contribution amount to be calculated at the rate certified under AS 37.10.220A8 for both the public employees retirement system and the teachers retirement system. Of course, we took out this section of the teachers retirement system because they're not subject to the 22% cap. This bill will cause employers who participate in the retirement plans to pay more toward liquidating past service costs of the plans. This bill will take effect immediately. Okay, so what we're talking about here is essentially cost shifting, just as Mr. Noel said, from the state under local governments in a way that I think is not mindful of why the 22% cap was established in the first place. because through actuarial problems that the state had from a company like Mercer, as well as funding of retirement plans through the 1990s, when people sought to save money simply by not paying for these retirement plans, that similarly to how one would try to save money by not paying your mortgage, if you have a bill in the future for an ongoing asset, which is your employees in this case, if you choose to not pay that bill now, you will have to pay much more in the future. That's what happened in the 90s. We had a situation where a Democrat governor made a deal with the Republican legislature to cut the budget, and how they chose to cut the budget was to not fund retirements. And so it's no wonder that we had a problem, because we chose to have it. So it's fascinating as we kind of look at how some people get in really big financial trouble because they put a bunch of money on their credit card and then say, oh, future me can pay for that. That's a future me problem. That's what the state did to balance our budget in the 90s, and we made that worse by hiring bad actuaries in the early 2000s. What this bill would do is it would say, forget the deal we made with the municipalities for us, the state's screw up. The state told many municipalities, you don't have to pay in. Many municipalities became very behind in how much they had paid for their employees, while some were less behind. Some had paid more into their retirement plans to keep up with their past service cost. This, I think, would blow that agreement out of the water. And unless the state is willing to go in and kind of really do a deep dive into what communities paid what for what employees, I think this bill would do a lot to really erode the public trust in what we said the state of Alaska did when we moved on from a defined benefit to a defined contribution plan in 2006. So it's a fascinating idea, and I understand why people want to talk about it, to talk about how past service cost works. However, the alternative to a past service cost is way more cash going out the door now than the state of Alaska has. No one, zero people, have put forward a plan to provide much more cash and a higher level of government spend to pay employees as much as needed to compete for the employees that we need to run our state effectively. I haven't heard one bill introduced. I haven't seen one idea to provide that revenue. I know of no one bringing those plans forward, whether it is to put teachers on Social Security or give teachers SBS or to provide for any number of things that would help attract or retain state employees. No one is suggesting that. So we have left what we have left and what our options are. What can we do? Well, we likely should not push costs onto municipalities and have municipalities pay more. That means those taxes go up, property taxes, sales taxes. If the state doesn't pick up their responsibility, local governments have to raise taxes or provide less service. We have less plowed roads. We have dumps that work inefficiently. Our options are limited, but they're not impossible. I'm not sure that this bill works to solve any problems. I think it's meant to highlight the problems we already have. But this is the process, and we'll move this bill on to the next committee so that they can discuss it further. So with that, what are the wishes of the committee?
Wishes is a strong word, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, despite my personal preferences, I move to report Senate Bill 81, version 34-LS0110/alpha as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note. I further move that the committee grant legislative legal the authority to make technical and conforming changes to the bill when drafting the final version of the bill.
Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing no objection, Senate Bill 81, version 34-LS0110/A, as in ANIAC, as amended, moves from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note. I further move that, well, legislative legal will be granted the authority to make technical and conforming changes. Please stick around after the conclusion of our meeting to sign the committee paperwork. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet again on Wednesday of this week, February 11th, when we will hear a lot about Alaska's agricultural industry. We have invited representatives from the Alaska Farm Bureau, the Alaska Farmland Trust, and Division of Mining, Land, and Water. As there is no further business to come before the committee today, we are adjourned at 1:54 p.m.